Welcome to the Action Sports Podcast. We created this podcast to help you become sponsorable by learning from the athletes, brands, and those that are crushing it in action sports. So crank up the volume and get inspired to turn your passion of riding into your career.
What is up, action sports enthusiasts? If you have not already joined the Action Sports Club, head over to ascarmy.com/podcast so you can get your club invite and start learning how you can land sponsorships and spend way more time riding. Again, that is ascarmy.com/podcast. See you in there. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Action Sports Podcast. I'm stoked for tonight because I've got a snow bike crosser or snow bike cross racer on the show tonight to talk to us more about his career and working with sponsors, working with companies, working with his family. This guy, I want to say kid because he's almost 10 years younger than me. He's been crushing it in the industry ever since he really transitioned from sleds to bikes. He's really been taking off and he has a fun story that he's going to be sharing with us tonight. And I'm super excited. He's been crushing it in X Games and Nationals in snow bike cross. And so everybody put your hands together and welcome our guest, Jesse Kirchmeier, the Showtime guy.
That's it.
That's right. I guess Showtime, just Showtime, not Showtime guy, but Showtime. So, start off, actually, I didn't bring this up in the beginning, but where'd you get Showtime from? I know you talked a little bit about John Farian, talked about it, but I want to get a little bit more how that happened and why it happened.
Yeah. You know, just, growing up, you know, local district around here racing, I was kind of always a ham, like to show off all the photos and stuff. I mean, I remember one race in particular, I had a friend behind me and a GoPro camera on. I mean, this is, you know, middle of a race, and I remember turning around and waving to him. You know, here I was in first, he's in second, you know, we're battling, I'm waving so we get on the camera. And, you know, whenever there was a photographer anywhere around, you know, I knew where they were on the track. Every lap, didn't matter if I was at a Loretta Lynn's regional or whatever it was, you know, I had to try to show off a little bit for the camera. And, you know, from there, the nickname kind of carried on. And actually my cousin, Papa, you know, he's like, hey, he's like, you know, Showtime there. And then it just kind of stuck. And from there, you know, he kind of started, you know, putting it on the jackets and things. People started calling me, and it kind of just snowballed from there.
Well, it's no surprise with a cousin named Popeye. I mean, he's not, is he a sailor or where did that come
from? No, he actually lost his eye. So that's why they call him Popeye.
Yeah. Oh man, that's funny. So Popeye names Showtime.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. There's somebody else called Showtime. I can't put my finger on who it was. But I wanna say. I can't say it was from a movie. I want to say there's somebody else in action sports that.
Oh yeah, Jeremy McGrath.
Say that again.
Jeremy McGrath was the OG for that one.
Okay. See, yeah, and as a motocrosser yourself, you would know that.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, that's awesome. So taking on this cool nickname, always wanting to be in front of the camera. Did you feel at the very beginning that being in front of the camera would actually expose you more to possibilities in the future? Is that kind of one of the reasons why you wanted to do it?
I mean, really, it was just a young kid, you know, just kind of goofing around, being, you know, like I said, just being a ham. And, you know, I just thought it was funny, you know, the funny pictures that we'd get, you know, I'd be here, you know, throwing a whip or something over a jump and flashing the peace sign or giving the thumbs up, looking right at the guy, you know, I just thought it was funny. And then, you know, from there, you know, obviously now, growing up, I kind of realized that it, you know, it helps for those sort of things, but okay. You know, where it all started from, it was just a kid goofing off.
Okay. Okay. That's cool. Yeah. It's great. Cause today's our life today is so evolved around social media that being in front of the camera is everything right now. everybody wants to be in front of the camera. Everybody's searching or trying to get that attention. Everybody wants, like company wise, even they want that attention to their brand, to their products. And you've been working with FXR, Timber Sled for, I mean, a couple of years now, Polaris, even racing on Articat back in a few years ago as well. Like you understand that today where it's makes a big difference. So let's talk about that for a sec. Let's talk about how you got hooked up or how the whole transition from at a young age racing, being the guy on or in front of the camera, trying to be in front of the camera as much to actually landing that sponsor with FXR. Because FXR is a big company.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I kind of started off, running the 50s, 60s and stuff. And the goal at the beginning was, you know, everyone's like, oh, you know, what do you want to do? And I just want to be a pro racer. And then, you know, as I started growing up and, started realizing more and more, you know, what that entailed, I raced sleds and bikes at the beginning because, we were able to do that. And then as I started to get a little better on the bikes, you know, kind of had to pick one or the other. So we focused and, you know, put all our eggs in one basket, went to racing bikes. And I was, years and years going by training MTF, GPF, you know, all the big facilities down south. I got my pro license. I think it was 17. I made my first pro event, Ironman, the 250 class. And, you know, it was always, I always felt like I had the speed to do more and stuff, but, just never had that break. As around here locally, it won early spring, and they had a local snowcross race, and a good friend that I grew up with, Larry Wears, but he was actually the race director. And he's telling me, you got to come down and get back on a sled, man. And I was like, you know what? I'd love to. I was like, it was like 10 years since I've even threw my leg over a sled. I was like, yeah, that's it for sure. So at that point, the sleds we had were relics. You know, I mean, 10 years old was our latest and greatest race sled. And the sled he had was 10 years older than that one. So between the two classes that I raced, I was on one sled that was, her name was actually named Gretchen, and everyone said that we got along so well because we were both the same age. You know, I think I was 17, 18 at the time, and I was racing an 18-year-old sled.
Right.
And went out there and, you know, won my races and just having a blast, because that's what I grew up on, was all the, you know, kind of the older equipment, older Articats. And that's when Bruce from Southside spotted me, and he walked over and, you know, said, hey, you know, you show some promise. Would you like to try racing for us next year?
Even on an old sled?
Yeah. Yeah, even on that old sled. And it was actually funny because that happened. It was a 2-day racing event, and I was just going to, I wanted to race both days, but the one throttle cable on our one sled was just, I mean, it was on its last wire, about ready to break. So we're like, oh, we'll just, you know, we had fun. We'll, you know, pack it up and go home. And that's when he came up to me and actually let me race one of their, it was a Scotty Vanderborn sled at the time. So I was able to race that the next day. He was one of their, I think, their pro light riders. Mm-hmm. So it was just, you know, here I go from a, 20-year-old sled to be able to ride a state-of-the-art pro light, sled that was just all decked out. And, you know, I was grinning from year to year, and it was cool because, you know, all the years racing motocross and all the, you know, things I've seen, like you said, about the media, this or that, and everything that you needed to do, you know, I kind of come from more old-fashioned aspect approach of it where, you know, growing up, you know, my dad was just, you know, don't worry so much about the flash, you know, just put in the work and, you know, let the results speak for themselves. And,
right.
You know, like, through the motocross, that kind of never came to fruition. You know, there's always some other people, you know, had a little more razzle dazzle to it, and, you know, had a little better connections and things. And, you know, this was my break for me. I was like I said, I was just mind blown with the fact that I've grinded for how many years with a motocross, and here I come one race just having some fun on the sleds, and the guy came up and, you know, offered me a ride. So fast forward to the next season, and he had me on to race the sleds. And I, you know, heard about these snow bike things, and I was like, man, I'd love to get my hands on one of those, you know, have my bike background. And actually, Reggie Sovereign, he's kind of like the pioneer of the snow bikes over here in the East Coast. And he had a bike, and he's like, you know, hey man, you can hop on it and ride it. So I went out there and did a couple laps, and just immediately I was like, you know, this is it. And Bruce saw that, and he made sure that he had some connections, and we got me a Camso snow bike kit, it's an app kit. And we broke that thing in half. I mean, 5,000 times that first season, in between, you know, racing the sled as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a couple of sport championships for the East Coast and such. And next year we got us a Yeti kit, went, and that's how we made it to X Games. The first year we went to Duluth, kind of no expectations. You know, here I was just, you know, I just run some local races on the snow bike out here, went to Duluth, podium the first time. And some people like, hey man, you should really try, going to X Games. And I was like, you know, X Games, no way, I'm not that good. Like, you know, I've just been doing this thing for fun. And they're like, no, seriously, you should try it. So, you know, we said, like, okay, we'll try it. And I loaded up, I had my old school bus at the time, little short bus. And I put a trailer on the back of it, loaded my sled in it, went all the way to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. You know, and it just me and actually Popeye. And we were coming back from the national in Jackson Hole to do the X Games qualifier. And then there was this big mishap where some gas got put in my diesel bus. One of the guys at the pump accidentally, was a full serve guy, accidentally put gas. But we didn't realize this until we're 15, 20 minutes down the road in the middle of nowhere at 3 a.m. My bus just shuts off.
Right.
So that was a whole, you know, thing. You know, finally got the bus running, was able to get towed, made it to the qualifier. And that's actually where my, how I was able to get in with FXR was Doug. He's kind of like, you know, the head marketing guy. And, you know, he just got talking to me, saw me. I had some FXR gear on from racing with Southside. There's, you know, there's represented of FXR, and he's just got like, oh, you know, how's it going? And I was like, man, it's going a lot better now than it was, you know, a little bit ago. He goes, what do you mean? And I, you know, told him that whole story about the bus and such. And, you know, from there, you know, me and Doug, you know, he's always had my back, and that's where, you know, the relationship really started. And from there, you know, the experience between, you know, FXR and such, you know, it's been a pretty awesome one. And that following year I switched and went to Timber Sled, and I've been there ever since. And, you know, after I won the championship, and, you know, from there, it's just been a really, really awesome experience, you know, coming from the kid that always, you know, wanted to, you know, be a pro. And now I actually get that somewhat, even if it's, you know, not originally what I planned on. You know, life takes you crazy places, and you just got to ride the ride. And, you know, here we are. And yeah, like I said, just living the dream and taking it one day at a time.
Dude, that's cool. I mean, like you said, I love my favorite part of the story is like the unexpected journey of switching from literally motocross over to snowcross, and then even snowcross into snowbike cross. Like just the hopping around, though you were preparing for it, it's a pretty cool journey to get to that point. And then you had like literally everything just kind of fell in line for you. It really did. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, like I said, you know, it's crazy when you just take, you know, like I said, come from the motocross, just grinding day in, day out. It never happened. You always hear people say that, you know, whenever they find success, like, yo, man, I was just, you know, whatever, I was working hard, and finally something just happened. And that was it for me. Thing just, you know, just clicked.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you get people that are all, oh, man, that guy, he just came from everything. He was born into it. He was born that way. Just like, wish he could have seen all the years before that.
Yeah, people always say, you know, the, you know, racers are really any motorsports at, you know, at all, or any sport. Everyone goes, oh man, they're living the life. That's, you know, kind of as you know, the thing that kind of always rubs me the wrong way. Or, you know, even, you know, other people I talk to, I was like, man, real people come up and say you got the life, but they're not there, you know, during the week, the, you know, the week of before the race, the grinding in the off season, you know.
Yes.
You know, you're just thinking, just you know, biting nails all the way through, fighting tooth, you know, just trying to do everything you can to get, you know, get ahead and this and that. And then you go out there and yeah, okay, you have a good result. Or, you know, or even if you have some, you know, a lot of success in a row, and then something happens, even, and someone's like, oh man, you know, what's wrong with him? And it's just like, there's nothing wrong, you know. It's just, you know, we're all human, and, you know, it's still, you know, just still tough just to be here. And, you know, the fact that, you know, I had, you know, somebody had something going for a long time, like, yeah, that's really good and that's crazy, but, you know, still, you know, people are only human, they're gonna make mistakes. And you know, just remember that it's, you know, it's just cool opportunity to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's cool, dude. I'm happy for you. I'm happy that whole journey, like you got the opportunity to go through that journey, and you're at where you're at today. And we're talking today because of it. So I'm stoked for you. Really am. So you mentioned a minute ago how you swapped from Camso to Yeti, and ultimately you're sitting on Timber Sled now. What was the whole conversation and introduction into Timber Sled? Why did you switch from Yeti to Timber Sled? I don't necessarily want to know, like, oh, because of the design of the kit. I want to know of the perspective of the company.
Yeah. So actually, is how that worked was, you know, when I was racing for Southside, they're a Polaris race team coach deal, and I was running Yeti, which was, you know, it's kind of its own thing.
Yep.
And you know, the first year when I was on Yeti, there was kind of some talks of me getting on Timber Sled, but by the time we got, you know, things ironed out with that, it was too late. You know, I had to make a decision prior to, so, okay, we're going with the Yeti. So we went with the Yeti, and then, you know, that's when we got the championship. And, you know, about halfway through the year, Timber Sled started talking to me, like, hey, you know, next year,
really?
what's your plans? What do you want to do? And, you know, working with Yeti, I mean, you know, they're all really nice to me and they're all great people, but it's just kind of tough because they're from up in Canada, you know, the Canadian based company, and obviously being down here in the US, it was, you know, it's kind of, it was pretty tough dealing with, a lot of their Canadian riders and stuff would, you know, obviously their top priority being up in Canada and me being down here in the States. So, and then I had obviously Timber Sled coming at me saying, hey, here's, you know, you're going to be our flagship guy, whatever you need, we got you, you know, and me and my father too. My father, he used to race isolas back in the day with Articat. He was kind of, a builder, engineer, designer, always trying to make things faster and this and that. And, you know, Timber Sled really gave us an opportunity to help with the R&D. And, you know, they really, you know, take our feedback. And that's part that, you know, that we enjoy is, you know, is helping making it better to, you know, make, you know, it's a new sport. So it's really cool to be able to, you know, look back and say, hey, that's something that, you know, we helped contribute to and test, design, build. So they were offering us that. So that all played a, you know, a huge factor in the switch. And then I got to go out and actually test one of the kits, and, you know, and then I actually, you know, found out, hey, I like enjoy riding too. So that was a plus.
Dude. Yeah, that's awesome. So having, again, the ties with the dealer and emphasis on working with a dealer, working with the local dealer, they are the ticket to the opening of like getting your name with a lot of companies. And it's cool to have a company like Timber Sled reach out to you, especially after you're hitting podiums and really taking the relatively new sport, like making it more popular, having more people or exposing it to more people. So of course, a company like Timber Sled would want to reach out to you. You did talk about there was a little bit of a, like some trickiness or difficulties working with a company outside of your origin, like your country origin. FXR is one of those. They're out of Manitoba, right? They're in Manitoba, I believe. And mm-hmm. So how is it working with a company up there versus working with a local company? Like, cause Fly, did you wear Fly while you raced motocross? Or what were you riding?
I did a little bit, but kind of that sponsorship was more through like the Hook It, you know.
Okay.
I never had a guy, you know, it was me looking for a sponsor being 12 years old. Hey, there's this new app, you know, Hook It thing. That's,
yeah.
The best I ever had was like a 50% or something. But,
yep.
But no, with FXR, actually, I deal with, like I said, Doug, and he lives in just outside of Elk River. So that's in Minneapolis. And then the owner, Milt, he also has a house right there in Minneapolis. So everyone I deal with is all in the U.S.
Right.
I think, you know, and they also have one of their main hubs is right around Minneapolis too. So like I said, that's all the people I deal with. I don't really have to deal with too many. There's some people that, you know, work up in Canada that mm-hmm. help with manufacturing stuff, that help with my gear and things. But for the most part, I'm dealing with, the guys on American soil, which is nice because it's really convenient.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to clarify that just so people can understand, like there are some companies that might not be in the country that you want to work with. And there's something you need to look at, like how easy is it going to work with this person or this company, though they may align with what you want, what you have, like your desires, your dreams, but how easy is it going to be getting your gear, getting feedback up to them, getting the results that you need versus working with a manufacturer or company that's, you know, origin based in your country. There are challenges like that, and you got it all worked out where you have both companies here in the US and they're both helping you out. So that's cool. That's good. That's good news. That's great feedback for people to understand. Your day job, you work, it's a family business, right?
Yep. Yep. We have a family construction business.
Yep. So I found that seems to be a kind of a popular thing. Either you're working construction is very popular amongst the snowcross, the backcountry, the hill climbers. Like that is a very popular occupation during riding, like during the year, and then sledding, snow biking during the winter time. So what did your mom and dad, they were a really big influence for you, and they were probably your very first sponsors, right?
Oh, absolutely.
They're helping you out from the beginning. So like you said, 4 years old, let's go back a little bit and talk a little bit more about Hook It and how you got introduced to working with sponsors and why your dad even wanted you to start racing.
Yeah, actually that one was, that was my mother. Actually, I remember
I was
like two and a half, something like that. And mom was like, told my dad, she's like, you know, I want Jesse to race. My dad rolled his head, you know, having, you know, gone through everything that I did, you know, and he's like, no, you don't want that. She's like, yes, I do. So, you know, okay. Or pull, you know, pulling his leg, and then we got a PW50, and you know, from that's where the whole thing started. Was actually, you know, my mother wanted me to race, and mm-hmm. you know, that's been pretty cool. And you know, then like I said, just growing up through the grind, you know, I was able to. I had, you know, the occasional you know, sponsor here kick me out. You know, with local guys like 7S Cycles, a big one around here, Moto Z. Those guys, you know, helping me up through the amateurs, you know, giving me discounts on parts, or just, you know, giving parts here there. And then there was actually my first. I guess you would say like my first team sponsor that I ever had to, you know, really learn to like work together and that sort of thing, from being kind of like a lone wolf sort of deal, was an MB60 team. They started out around here, and that kind of, they really gave me the first feels on, you know, what it takes to deal with sponsors, the media, you know, kind of, you know, I kind of, before that, I was kind of like a mismatch gear, no plastic, no graphics kind of guy. Just go out there rough, run what you're brung. Didn't care what I looked like, and they kind of, you know, helped clean my act up a little bit. And you know, hey, no, like you need to, you know, look the part as well. You know, it doesn't matter so much. You know, I mean, yeah, sure, I was, you know, winning and, you know, placing well, but if I didn't look like somebody that a sponsor wanted representing them, then it didn't really matter. And then from there, I went to another team, DTA, and same thing, kind of helped build up on that through my pro career. And then that's when we switched to, you know, the Southside FXR deal. And once again, that, you know, all those things that going up through with the MB60 and the GTA, that helped prepare me for hopping on a, you know, professional team like Southside, where, you know, obviously they take, you know, racing very seriously. They've been doing it for a long time. And, you know, just dealing with the sponsors and, you know, how to, promote yourself and promote the brand and, you know, make yourself usable, really.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. You know, going up, not really jumping, but literally growing from team to team to the point where you've grown into a professional team. We talked a little bit before we started recording. I want to know a little bit more about your expectations though, from these guys, from these companies, how, or what exactly you expect from companies, manufacturers like FXR, like TimberSled, and also the dealer. Like what are some of the expectations that you have for these guys?
Yeah, I mean, you really actually, I'd probably say one of my flaws, or, you know, not really a flaw, but just one of my mentalities, is I always am more afraid of the fact that, like, you know, what can I do for them? I feel like I need to work really hard for these people, because, like I said, like Southside, for me, that was something that I'd never had before. You know, the fact that, like, hey, you know, here's the sled, ride it, here's your gear, you know, and here I come from, you know, clawing my way up through the ranks. You know, so for me, always, I felt like, you know, I need to do everything that I can do for these people. So, I'm very loyal to, you know, the brands, people that have helped me out. You know, I want to do the best I can above and beyond. And I'm always talking, when I'm talking with, you know, FXR and TimberSled, you know, I'm talking like Josh, he's the owner. I'm like, hey, you guys need me out in Idaho, let me know. I'll fly out there, whatever I got to do. I want to help TimberSled. I want to help, you know, FXR. I mean, for me, it's not so much of an expectation, because they've always treated me, you know, so well. They've kind of, because especially coming on, you know, first time, they're like, oh, hey, you know, here's some, you know, we're going to do a photo shoot, and they give me like, you know, a sweater and some shirts and stuff like that. At the end, I'd be, you know, going to give it back. Like, hey, here you go. Like, no, keep that, man. I was like, yeah. Are you sure? Like, I'm like, no, keep it, you know? So it was kind of them, you know, opening my eyes and showing me what I was worth, you know, because I was, you know, like I said, just, you know, someone who felt like I didn't deserve this.
Right.
You know, so. It's just, you know, it's pretty cool. And, you know, I guess the biggest thing is too, is, you know, I try to keep, you know, a pretty small head on me, you know, I just trying to, you know that, you know, yeah, it's cool, we're racing and all, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's just something that we're doing for fun, and we're just lucky to be doing. And, you know, I don't think that, you know, racing or anything like that is any better than any other profession. Like, to me, you know, I see a welder out there, I'm like, man, now that's a guy that takes some skill, you know. And I don't, like I said, I don't think of this as anything greater than that or any other, you know, labor job.
Right. Dude, I love that about you. There's some good humility comes in with, to really get where you want to be. Like, there's some humility that needs to come into play, being thankful, giving back as much as you can, serving, doing everything on your part. And so, you mentioned multiple things there where if they needed help, like, you're already committed 100% to fly or go anywhere that they need help. if they need it, right? If they ask it, the ticket's already bought.
Yeah, so, like sorry this year, and they, you know, we're going like the Heydays. You know, they know, like, you're like, hey Jesse, we need you at Heydays. They already had all my, because they knew like I'd be there. And then same thing every year at the end of the year, I help them doing their trail shoot. You know, they just know I'll be there. It doesn't matter if I'm 5, 6, 7 hours away at, you know, somewhere, they know that they can tell me a day and time and I'll drop everything I'm doing and make sure it happens. Yeah. Like, and, you know, be a helping hand.
Yep. That's good. That's a good relationship to have. Like, a company needs to depend on you. A company needs to know that you're there for them and that they're that's kind of their expectations as well. So how do you help them sell more products then? It's a good question. It's because it's kind of hard to, it's a lot of people don't think about it. So, but truthfully, how do you feel that you give back to those companies besides the showing up for events, besides the wearing their product? Like, what are some of the little things that you can do?
Oh yeah. You know, part of the thing is, you know, I think it helps too, having that connection with them. Cause, you know, it's, to me, not just, you know, oh, this brand is sponsoring me. Like, to me, you know, this is, they're my team. These guys, they back me. So, you know, everything I'm doing, you know, even everyday life, you know, talking to people and, you know, really helping. Like, I take it upon myself to, when I've been doing these shoots and things with FXRs, you know, like I said, I came in as completely green. So I'm, you know, I take it on myself to help learn about a little bit of, you know, about the products, this, that. So like when I was at Heydays, you know, I can help, you know, a customer, they can bring a customer over to me and say, hey, you know, how about these new Summit goggles? And I'm like, oh, you know, I know about the goggles, the lenses, the, you know, and that's not necessarily something that, you know, everyone needs to do, but, you know, it helps when you're trying to, you know, go the extra mile and just really make sure that you're giving back to the company and, you know, you can give some helpful feedback and some general knowledge, like even like with the timber sled, you know, helping with the R&D, really learning about the bike. So this way, when I go like to the, I went to the Big East show out here and I was over with Polaris, so I can help the consumer, the product, you know, people I've never seen a snow bike before, you know, instead of just being there with my bike sign autographed, you know, I'm there to help answer questions and, you know, clarify some things with people that, you know, maybe some misconceptions or they just want to know about the product. Hey, I got this bike, I got that bike, you know, I'm here to just be a, you know, be a wealth of information for everyone and just, you know, just be a good figurehead, a good ambassador of, you know, of their companies. Cause that, you know, you got to look professional and you really got to, you know, especially when you got another company, you know, right there, you know, like, you know, what these guys can offer me that, you know, that you can't, or vice versa, you know, to help,
yeah, just, you know, competition.
Yeah, it is. So, and that's part of the racing aspect that helps, you know, when you know, that helps, for me, drive the loyalties, you know, being a racer, you know, I want to beat that guy and this guy. So when you're part of, you know, a company, a team, and I see, you know, the other company, I'm like, no, we've got to be better than them. You know, we got to do something to help, you know, here's some ideas, you know, even though I'm sure 9 times out of 10, they're bad ones, but you know, I like it. You're helping, you know?
Yeah, no, that's good. I haven't had anybody on the show really talk about that, how the competition is real out there between the companies and how you're working in an efforts to work, you know, not necessarily put down the other company, but how you can show that your company is the elite company or the company that other people should want to be a part of. We haven't really talked about that. That's pretty interesting, that perspective of competition. Because real,
I actually learned that from building the gas station. So that's what my family do, is we do a lot of tear down, rebuild gas stations for companies like Quick Fill and Crosby's and such. And, you know, one time my dad had one of the questions at the meeting was, you know, why is it that you always see gas stations and they're always on the corner? You know, you think, you wouldn't you want them split across town or, you know, far away so you don't got to compete with someone else? And the guy said, you know, the guy talking to my father was like, well, no, because now if you put your gas station right next to someone else's, you already know that everyone's going there. Now all you got to do is convince them to come to your side of the street versus the other. You're not trying to pull them from across town, you know? So that's kind of, you know, really, really cool mindset, you know, to think about that, you know, a lot of people don't.
Yeah, that is. That's interesting because we always want to be the best, but we don't. I haven't really talked to people that understand the reason why you want to be competitive in that aspect and work with those companies and help them be competitive. It's usually just, yeah, they give it to me and I got all these cool products and I'm an ambassador and I get to wear all this cool stuff. And then that's kind of like the end of it, right? That's no, but there's the whole aspect of bettering that company. Showing other people that company is the best and going on, taking that on yourself has been actually pretty cool. I like that. Appreciate you sharing that because it's neat. You mentioned with talking to John Farian, you actually like to focus on kids as well. And mm-hmm. I want you to touch on that a little bit. Why do you focus on the younger generation? I mean, aren't they already going to just come up and fill your shoes when you retire?
I mean, that's the goal. I mean, that's all that, you know, I can dream of. I mean, obviously right now, you know, I'm riding the wave of, you know, just blessed with the success that I've had. But, you know, once I'm gone, once the next person's gone, you know, who's going to fill their shoes? You know, so, right. I mean, you know, and my father's really, you know, helped emphasize that with me too. Is, and I remember being that kid that, you know, always wanted to look up to, you know, those pro riders and, you know, walk around the racetrack and all the experts are out, you know, you wanted to go out and watch them because that's what you wanted to be. And, you know, and then especially like when you might see one and, you know, maybe you worked up the courage to talk to one and one brushed you off, you know, and I remember, right. you know, how that felt, you know, and I never wanted that, you know, to do that to another kid, you know, I remember how that felt, you know, getting brushed off. And I never wanted to be, I always wanted to be approachable and, you know, make those kids, you know, cause that's a memory that'll last a lifetime with them. And, you know, hopefully they're going to, you know, when they, you know, cause kids, they got parents. So they, you know, a kid who maybe, you know, a parent just brought to the race cause they kind of wanted to or something. And now that kid's hooked, well, now the parents are going to come, they're going to get involved with the sport. They got cousins, they got sisters. And, you know, that's another generation that's going to get brought up, you know, to get into the motorsports, you know, this motorsports aspect and keep this, you know, this sport that we love, you know, alive.
Yeah, absolutely. And so keeping the interest in these families, so you literally, your boots are filled when you get the next people or the next companies coming up and the next generation coming up and really trying to push the growth of the company or the industry or like their name and stuff like that. That's cool. So out of respect of your time, I just have, two questions. Or actually I just have one. Where do you really, like, what are you doing day to day now? Like with Snow Bike Cross, like where are you headed this year? 2022, actually 2022 is this week. So what are you headed? What are your plans for this upcoming season?
Yeah. So pretty much most of my time is spent out in Minnesota. Right now you caught me. I just came home for the holidays and helped. We just got a new stacker trailer that was, you know, sponsored to us by Southside and, Jimmy Jets, who's been a long time sponsor of me. So like I said, just getting that stuff buttoned up, you know, moving out of the old trailer into the new bigger trailer. So this way, you know, we can, you know, hopefully go about this a little bit more professionally and, help better represent the snow bike sport as a whole. And, mm-hmm. Then we'll be leaving here, heading out there, hopefully get some training and some testing at the test track that I'm at there. And then from there, pretty much I'm based right out of Minnesota the whole time.
Wow, that's cool.
I'll go from my home base out there to a racetrack, back and forth until the season's done. It's good. I got hooked up with you know, some good people that help us fabricate out there. Stevens Fabrication and Welding, which is really awesome. I actually broke my bike frame in half this year. And here I am, you know, scrambling, like, man, you know, the next bike frame I had was, you know, back here in New York. And it's I can do it in, you know, 17 hours straight through it. I was like, man, I really don't want to make that drive to go back home and pick up a bike the bike frame. And did some digging around and, you know, they're able to get that fixed for me. And now they're on board as a sponsor this year, helping. And it was just cool because, you know, that's all it takes sometimes. It's just, you know, going to a local vendor or, you know, any other company like that. And, you know, once they know that, hey, you know, you're about racing and, you know, being approachable, and then, you know, then they'll want to help you. And that's kind of what happened. You know, they're a great family run organization there. And they're like, hey, you know, we'd like to, you know, what can we do to help, help support you? And yeah, so they're helping take care of all my, you know, fabrication and such while I'm out there.
No, that's cool. Yeah. That's another thing. Like, make sure you work with local facilities, local shops, local, businesses, because these people can really help you get further as well. And you can even work into, like, I've heard some stories where some local construction businesses were literally setting up bikes, buying new bikes, motors, built motors, and helping people race. Like, it's very possible and it's cool. Yeah. So don't be afraid to start locally and really talk to people that can help you out there.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, dude, I appreciate your time. I'm excited for your season this year to head out and really take Storm in Nationals. You got your buddies racing with you, and hope things get a little bit better with the borders, and so we can keep more racers kind of coming flowing back and forth between the two countries. But I think this year is going to be really fun. I'm stoked for it. 2022 is going to be an awesome year. Absolutely.
So. Absolutely. I'm pumped to hear that. We got Yannick Boucher. He's coming back in. You know, he was locked out last year because of, you know, the border closing. So he's coming back, silver medalist, and, you know, good friend. And, you know, we always have some good rivalry, good race. You know, it's always fun when you go, when you trust that person, you know, that you're racing with, you off the race, you know, banging bars and, you know, this, that, and come off, and, you know, who doesn't matter who won, you know, first, second. I mean, obviously, you know, the other person, you know, we always want to win, but it don't sting so bad when it's your buddy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You guys are going to go and hang out and have a good time after anyways. So let's have you drop all of your handles where people can find you, follow you, and any of the, if you want to talk about sponsor or end with shout outs to your sponsors, we'll give you that time.
Yeah, I don't know if you're looking, you can find me on Facebook. It's Jesse Showtime Kirschmeyer. Instagram, the Jesse KTM 42. And if you want to look it up, get some merch, go on snowbikecowboy.com. You can hit us up there. And then, yeah, just all the sponsors. I'd like to thank, you know, Mom and Dad, first and foremost, for, you know, just starting me out in this thing. And Polaris, Timber Sled, FXR, Moto Z, Stevens Welding Fabrication, all the local people around here that has helped us out. Swatland Fabrication and Bert Heinrich, Route 78 Pub, 7S Cycles, and Fox Shocks, Factory Connection. Just like I said, all the people that have stood behind me. You know, I can't thank them all enough. Southside, it's been an awesome journey.
That's cool, man. And it's just not necessarily just beginning, but kind of just beginning. Just a couple years into it, I think we can have it a long career, right?
Yeah, that's what we're hoping.
Dude, that's awesome. Well, man, appreciate your time, and we'll catch you on watching you on film or watching you on the video. So good luck, man. Perfect.
Thank you.
Yep. See ya.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you found value on this episode, be sure to share the vibes and subscribe, drop a review, and rate the podcast. If you want to further your knowledge on how we're helping people like you spend more time riding, be sure to head over to theactionsportspodcast.com and request an invite to join the fastest growing club in action sports. And come join the Action Sports Army by following us on all social media channels. Find us at The Action Sports Club. And thank you again for being a listener of the Action Sports Podcast.